Welcome to the second quarter 2025 results conference for Pay Investors. My name is Natalia, and I'll be your operator for today. Right now, all attendees are in silent mode. You can ask questions through the platform or your phones. These will be answered at the end of the session. Good morning, investors, and welcome to the second quarter of 2025 results conference. Today, we are with our CEO, Jairo Corrales, along with Andres Esquivel, who leads the commercial management of Pay. I'm Danielle Torres, Director of Investor Relations and Capital Markets. Our agenda includes going through the progress of the strategy, reviewing the operational and financial results of Pay, checking what has happened in the capital markets, and we'll have a special chapter to talk about the issuance of securities, which is the 12th tranche of Pay. We will conclude with our Q&A session. Now, let's give the floor to our CEO, Jairo Corrales. Go ahead, Jairo.
Thank you so much, Danielle. Good morning, investors. As always, it's a pleasure to be with you. As we have always said, we will refer to the most relevant topics related to the execution of the strategy outlined by Pay in coming months and years. With regard to our real estate portfolio management, for years, we have informed investors that one of the pillars of the strategy is portfolio management and optimization. It's important to note that we continue to make progress on several fronts. The first has to do with divestment. Currently, we are in the process of divesting a significant asset for Pay with an international strategic partner, a process that should be closing in the next 2 months. This is an important process that, just like we did last year with divestments, sends a strong message to investors and the public opinion regarding the validity of the appraisals supporting Pay's accounting records. Remember, last year, we carried out four divestments, all of which were very close or above the value, the equity value with which we record appraisals in Pay. This is a relevant topic, and I insist, confirms that those 9.8 trillion pesos that today constitute the Pay asset are also supported by transactions we have recently made. It's also important to say that within the current portfolio, we have deployed our strategy of becoming real estate allies of tenants. For instance, the Cadena Free Trade Zone in Barranquilla. In recent months, we've advanced what we call the expansion of stage number 8 with one of our tenants, which is Ara. With them, we started a process 5 years ago, where today we have become their real estate allies, and for them, there has been a very big leap in their income, mainly from exports to the North American market. Regarding commercial and operational management, it's important to mention that in our shopping center in Bogotá, we installed more than 700 solar panels that generate more than 408,000 kilowatts per year, leading to savings close to 56%. This is not, it really is something that has to do with environmental sustainability without neglecting the two other fronts of the economic viability of the vehicle, which we manage continuously, and social impact. It's also important to highlight that during the quarter covered today, we have over 5,700 square meters leased, mainly in the corporate category. As you know, Pay owns a building on Carrera Séptima and Calle 76. There we have several floors terminated in advance of the contract expiration, and fortunately, the relocation of spaces is already finished, and next month, we will start receiving the income. Similarly, something happened in the Capitol Towers on Carrera Séptima and Carrera 100, and where we received four floors as a result of an early termination, but we managed the relocation even with better rents than what we had previously. Amadeus on North Highway with 103rd Street received additional square meters from Seguros del Estado, Seguros Bolívar. No, I'm sorry, Seguros del Estado. Remember, Pay owns the building, which is at Carrera 11 and Calle 92. And there we will build the new corporate headquarters and temporarily relocate them to the Amadeus building. They originally occupied a certain area, and they expanded it, and we provided them a floor in the building on North Highway. And I can't stop mentioning, as Daniel commented, the topic of financial management and capital markets. It's important to share with you that a couple of weeks ago, we received the final authorization from the financial superintendents regarding the 12th tranche of participatory notes of Pay. In these 18 years, Pay has made 11 issuance of participatory notes into a bonds. However, since 2019, due to the unfavorable conditions in the capital market, we were not able to carry out a new issuance. But with this initiative, we resumed the path of being very active in the capital market, striving for an excellent capital structure of the vehicle, which results in higher profitability for investors. It's also important to remember that this is the result of one of the divestments made in the year 2024. We received resources this year that allowed us to pay 50 billion pesos to financial obligations. This amount comes from the divestment of Sede and Éxito here in the city of Bogotá on 68th Avenue, close to Avenue of Las Américas. And one of the most relevant figures of the vehicle are, as you know, Pay's portfolio today is close to 10 trillion, more precisely 9.92 trillion under management. The level of debt is at 3.2 trillion. This represents a loan to value close to 33%. Let's recall that about 2 years ago, we were close to 36%. We've had a reduction due to the increase in asset value, but also the repayments of capital that we made from some of the loans resulting from the divestments. A relevant issue has been the growth of investors. 3 months ago, in the last call, we reported a number of investors close to 6,300. Today, we have more than 7,000 investors. That is to say that Pay continues to expand its investor base. And we also have the inclusion of international investors, a topic on which we have already seen some initial positive results and hope to further deepen in coming months. In relation to the tenants or tenant portfolio, we currently have 1,500 tenants with the best credit risk profiles, some of them with several of our asset categories. The leasable area is at 1,160,000 square meters. The physical vacancy that we will explain ahead displayed a temporary increase during this quarter, physical at 7.2% and economic 8.3%. Here, I anticipate the current issue in where some of the contracts that we already signed are in a grace period, and that causes a distortion in economic vacancy. But we do have some good news that we're going to share with you in the section of commercial results. It's always relevant to comment for a vehicle like Pay, which is long-term and income, that we continue with a very high contract renewal rate, close to 97.5%, with almost 40,000 square meters renewed. During this period, new spaces of about 24,000 square meters released. In terms of financial aspects, what can we highlight? We had income during the first semester. We're talking not about the quarter, but the semester of 404 trillion pesos, and the NOI, or operating profit, stands at 341 trillion pesos, so the margin is above 84%. The EBITDA is over 290 trillion pesos, up compared to the same period last year, more than 8.3%. And the life margin is at 72%, increasing about 50 basic points. The net portfolio is at 4.5 billion pesos, representing 0.57% of the last 12 months' revenue. As you know, the GDP distributes returns every 3 months. Next week, we'll be distributing on August 15th, to be precise, the profit sharing corresponding to the second quarter of the year, and we will distribute 1,285 pesos per share, a sum then close to 55 billion pesos, very much in line with what we mentioned in our previous call. Hence, the results remain consistent. On a positive note, we have an increase in vacancy, which, although significant, we have some news that allow us to anticipate that we're going to correct that increase that occurred, which is reported in this quarter, and we're going to look at in detail ahead, even by categories. So let me give the floor now to Andres Esquivel, who will refer to the results of the commercial and operational management of the vehicle. Thank you, Jairo. Good morning, esteemed investors. We will provide here a summary of the most relevant aspects regarding the commercial and operational management of the portfolio. On the top left graph is the indicator of physical vacancy of the entire portfolio, where Hyde already anticipated a bit a growth that we had compared to the previous quarter. We also had a variation of 132 basic points, placing us at 7.22%. And this has a very specific and precise explanation and corresponds to the completion of 16,500 square meters in the logistics category through a contract that we had with Servientrega in a warehouse set in the municipality of Mosquera, Cundinamarca. Furthermore, it is important to highlight that the physical vacancy rate in the corporate category displayed a reduction of 11 basis points from 3.49 to 3.38% compared to the last quarter. This is due to the placement of approximately 7,000 square meters that occurred during the second quarter of the year. And in the specific corporate category, we will provide more details. While it is important to mention that as of the cutoff date, there is an increase in physical vacancy, we also want to reassure you that during the month of July, three transactions were successfully closed, totaling just over 3,000 square meters. However, due to administrative issues, the signing of these contracts was not registered during the first quarter of the year and have retroactive dates, both for income and occupancy of the spaces during the month of June of this year. This allows us then is to have a reduction close to 60 basis points and also to position ourselves again on a path of 6.6%, the range that we estimated at the beginning of the year. So it is important to highlight and provide that peace of mind, as Heido said, that this is a situational occurrence. Moving on to the upper right-hand side graph on vacancy, economic vacancy, we also see an impact on the completion of the 16,500 square meters, up 127 basic points to reach 8.39% in the second quarter of the year. However, as we said, the materialization of or completion of these 7,000 square meters that are in grace periods would allow us, once finished, a reduction of 98 basic points to position us again at an indicator above 7.40% of economic vacancy. We will provide ahead more details on each of the categories. Now, looking at the lower left-hand side graph, we once again highlight one of the great attributes of the portfolio, which is its diversification. Indeed, we continue to focus mainly on three major categories: shopping centers with a share of over 40%, followed by corporate properties with a share of 34%, and lastly, logistics with a share of 16%. And lastly, we really maintain this healthy diversification across categories to help mitigate any type of risk. Lastly, on the bottom right-hand side graph, we can tell you that as of the cutoff date, we have made investments amounting to 35 billion pesos. These investments are focused on 150 projects, which are represented by 90% in CapEx and close to 10% for repair and maintenance activities. All of this within the framework and the plan of the asset maintenance route, which is one of the fundamentals of the business. Moving on to the next slide, we can see the corporate category. Let's take a closer look at the placements and the prospects that are not being accurately reflected in the report. Here we can see that the physical vacancy of the corporate portfolio for the second quarter of the year decreased by exactly 29 basis points, placing us at 12.82. This was achieved, as we mentioned, thanks to the placement of a little over 7,000 square meters during the second quarter of the year, a figure that is not insignificant. This absorption number, with the placement of an additional floor for the company Pragmatic Play, stands out. This company has been with us since the end of last year at Atrio and occupies a total area of the building of 10,000 square meters. And we're estimating that during the course of the year, we will achieve an expansion of a few additional square meters for this company within the building. Just as Heido pointed out, we placed 2,000 square meters in the building QE to a technology and data security company. And we also highlight the placement of three businesses in the Amadeus building in Bogota, One Plaza in Medellín, and Capital Tower in the city of Bogota. And as we explained before, this allows us a reduction of 29 basis points. And once the grace periods are over, as you can see in the graph on the left, the performance of economic vacancy, which at this time is affected by those grace periods, would reduce again close to 11.9%. In short, we would be showing significant recovery here. As we highlighted, we have close to 5,000 square meters, of which 3,000 already signed in July, and there are three negotiations that are underway, particularly for the Trim building, where we are achieving the placement of very important square meters in the commercial pavilions. We seek to anchor our building already with all of the gastronomy category and begin generating added value for asset users. In addition, we would achieve the placement on the second floor of our gym that would improve the amenities for users as well. These would be the aspects that are most relevant to highlight within the square meters that, again, are not being reflected in the report, which would also lead us to a significant decrease in the corporate category and place ourselves in a vacancy indicator close to 11%, which is the goal that we had set out for the period. Another relevant aspect to highlight is that to date, we have 32 prospects that total an area greater than 49,000 square meters. And we hope that they will generate good news in the upcoming calls. We continue to work hard to stabilize the vacancy rate, particularly in this category. One aspect that we want to underscore is that last week we delivered to our ally Multiplica, which occupies 800 square meters. The area that was intervened corresponds to the percentage in which PAY participates in this autonomous patrimony. An investment of about 1 billion pesos was made in a contract with a duration of 7 years. And this is indeed a source of pride for our allies who believe in our projects and stay with us. Moving on to the next slide, in the commercial category, we are evidencing an increase close to 67 basic points in the shopping center category. This increase is clearly identified in two assets, corresponding to the termination of three contracts with an area close to 2,500 square meters, both in Plaza Central and in Centro Comercial Único, Cali. The termination of these contracts is aligned with the strategy of improving rental income, which will allow us in a few months at the time of leasing out these spaces to achieve more income per square meter than what we had in these assets. Moreover, it should be noted that the economic vacancy, which experiences a normal and cyclical growth during the first two quarters of a year, did not show an impact particularly related to the growth of physical vacancy, thanks to one of the factors that we want to highlight and that you can see on the right-hand graph that has to do with the growth of quarterly sales. This allowed absorbing the impact of economic vacancy, since by the second quarter of the year, we achieved a growth in our sales of 14%, placing us at an indicator slightly above 800,000 pesos per square meter. Similarly, the traffic in our shopping centers in June displays figures close to 69 million visitors. And so you can say that during the first 6 months of the year, in comparative terms, the entire population of Colombia has already passed through our assets. As a frame of reference, according to follow-up, a company in charge of measuring the traffic and sales of the main shopping centers in Colombia, the growth of sales nationally as of June averages a 10% increase, and in traffic, an average growth of 2%. This shows that our assets are still very resilient and sound in these special moments. The next slide shows us the logistics category. As we explained, we had the main factor of increase or variation in the physical vacancy indicator. We can see how physical vacancy went from 2.43 to 5.66%. Again, this is associated with the completion of 16,500 square meters in the warehouse in Mosqueda in the department of Cundinamarca. It's important here to highlight that by the month of June, we achieved the absorption and placement of 5,000 square meters in our logistical square park that's in the municipality of Siberia, and also allowed us to generate a positive absorption, or rather counteract part of the negative absorption we had regarding the termination of the aforementioned contract. We are currently working hard on placing this space. It is a warehouse with very special features, and we have two prospects working on them right now. Regarding other real estate management indicators, we have, as of now, an investment exceeding 15 billion pesos, of which 86% is in CAPEX and 14% in repairs and maintenance. Moving on to the hospitality and specialized category, in the graph on the upper left, we find the occupancy trends of our university residences, both of CTU in Bogota and Ojo and the city of Cali. For the first semester of the year, we see an 84% occupancy rate was achieved in the CTU residences. What we see is as marginal, considering that it was included in the budget and the dynamics that we were seeing for the year. And with regards to Ojo, it displayed a very, very positive performance with occupancy rates close to 70% of the asset and an improvement of 7% or 70 basic points compared to the year immediately before. On the lower graph, we also find the dynamics in the performance of occupancy and income in Cala Blanca. While there is a decrease in hotel occupancy levels for the second quarter of the year, for the average of the year, considering the two quarters, we do have an average occupancy of 62%, which remains very much in line with last year's, which was at 61%. But the most relevant aspect to highlight is that with the same level of occupancy, we have achieved a 38% increase in income, reaching close to 40 billion pesos for the year 2025. This result is really a positive point thanks to the increase that has been generated in the rate of our rooms, close to 14% compared to the year immediately before. With this, we conclude the summary of the commercial and operational management. Remember, we are available for any questions that may rise, and let's give the floor to Danielle, who will talk about the financial results of the portfolio. Thank you so much, Andres. We will now move on to the main financial figures that Jairo mentioned earlier. I will focus on the results specific to the quarter. As of the end of the second quarter of 2025, we had revenue of 198 billion pesos, up 7.3% and higher than the same period in 2024. And in terms of the year to date, in the first 6 months of the year, as Heido mentioned, we had a 7.6% increase in income compared to the same period of the year 2024. When we review the operating profit or NOI, a result almost of 167 billion pesos was achieved during the quarter, representing a 9.5% growth compared to the same period of the previous year. It's important to mention that the increase in these revenues was mainly due to an increase in variable revenues that grew close to 23%. In terms of operating margins or NOIs, the second quarter of 2025 displayed a margin of 84% and continues to have a very good performance. However, as we mentioned in the previous call, as the quarters go by, this margin will decrease and trend towards levels close to 83.5% due to the repairs and maintenance carried out or conducted throughout the year. Hence, we have an EBITDA or a profit before financial expenses that grew by 8.7%, reaching 141 billion pesos when compared to the same period in 2024. Here we have a significant growth coming from operational efficiencies and the administrative expenses of the vehicle. Going forward, we expect this trend has a life margin exceeding 70% will continue to consolidate. In this case, we had a margin of 71.2% in the quarter and year to date. We have an EBITDA that reached nearly 300 billion pesos, 292 billion pesos, with a margin of 72.1%, which is 8.3% higher than the same semester of the year 2024. In terms of the cash flow paid, we have a growth trend explained in the lower right-hand side graph. We had quarters in which the distribution or of market prices was slightly above 2.5%. And today we already have a distribution that borders 7%. 6.99% is the dividend yield or profitability for the returns the vehicle delivers compared to the market price, which is the one below on the dotted line of 68,500 pesos or the closing price as of June 2025. So on Friday, as Haido already announced, we will pay 1,285 pesos per share to each investor. On the next slide, we have the financial expense and the cost of debt. We mentioned in the previous call that we experienced an increase in the cost of financing seen in the orange line that you can see that climbed from 10.49% in the fourth quarter of 2024 to 10.71% in the first quarter as a result of maturities of loans that came with pandemic-related conditions. But for this second quarter of 2025, the cost of financing would reach the result that was given, 10.39%. In terms of net financial expense, the figure is around 83 billion pesos. And it's important to mention a specific issue in this case. Very important to mention this issue. When the budget was prepared and the estimates were provided in February of this year in our call, it was estimated that by this half of the year, the central bank would have a much lower intervention rate than it currently has. Currently, the central bank has an intervention rate of 9.25% in response to fiscal pressures and to a lower decrease in inflation. So where will this take us? Although we will continue reducing financial spending throughout 2025, the expenditure will not decrease as much as initially anticipated when we prepared the budget and what we thought we were going to have, a financial expense close to 310 billion pesos throughout 2025 will likely approach 320 or 330 billion pesos by the end of this year. I'm referring to the net financial expense. There is a small offset in this regard, however. Just as we have more interest expenses, we also have more interest income. And that partially offsets the impact on the vehicle's financial expenses. We thus see a decrease in financial expenses between the second quarter of 2024 and the second quarter of 2025, close to 15 billion pesos. When we reviewed debt indexation, That is the indicator that takes as reference the credits for interest collections we have in the portfolio. We see that by the end of the second quarter of 2025, 51.8% of the portfolio was indexed to the Consumer Price Index, or CPI, meaning that the interest were indexed to the CPI. However, it is important to remember that all pay loans are in pesos. 13.2% of those credits have a fixed interest rate, and 34.9% have an IBR. As seen in the graph in the second bar from left to right, in 2024, we had a composition when we started the first quarter, close to 32% in CPI, and that rose to 54.8% in that same indicator. We made a tactical move at the time because we saw that CPI was going to decrease slightly faster than the intervention rate that impacts the IBR or the reference banking index. And that allowed us to save. At this moment, we see a decrease of that portion in CPI, and we began to transition in 2025 to have a higher proportion of loans in IBR, since the intervention rate today has more room to fall. This allows us to have a much more flexible debt portfolio at pay, and that flexibility allows us to capture opportunities in the market very quickly. In terms of the level of debt, 32.6% of loan to value, that is the weight of debt as a proportion of assets, and within that portfolio, 81% is long term, while 19% is short term. Remember, short term is measured as the following 12 months after the measurement is taken. And a very important issue, interest coverage, has already exceeded twice. This means that the EBITDA allows for covering net financial expenses twice. Then this is very important because back in 2023, we made amendments of the prospectus in which we indicated that if we did not have an interest coverage ratio, or ICR, of 1.7 times, we could not deploy debt for new acquisitions. And this is an indicator that we have been meeting above that level since the first quarter of 2025. Moving on to the evolution of capital markets, here we find that in June, we had a maximum price of the security in the market of 69,500 and a minimum of 67,360. So we continue with the performance that we had for several quarters, where the price of the security oscillates from 65,000 to 75,000 pesos. It has remained there for several quarters, and we expect that going forward with the strategies that we are applying, we can have catalyzers of value to have valuations in the market. The daily average traded volume, or ADTV, closed in the first half of 2025 at 1.8 billion pesos each day. Remember, this represents the trade in Colombia Stock Exchange of approximately 97% of all transactions were made by pay. When we take a look at these metrics, liquidity has continued to be a determining factor in our work and in the way we communicate to the market the results of our vehicle. In terms of how we see ourselves compared to other issuers that are part of the MSCI COLCAP, or that benchmark index of the Colombian Stock Exchange, pay ranks 11th in terms of volume, with a slight decrease since we have maintained between a range of 65,000 and 75,000 pesos. today. Pay transactions represent about 2% of everything traded on the cold cap, which allows us to keep that 11th position that I mentioned. And at the end of June, transactions had been carried out of 6% of outstanding shares. What does this represent? The 2.5 million shares shown on the slide correspond to 6% of the 42 million outstanding shares. And this is very important because this indicates the liquidity and transactions that the pay share has in the secondary market. I want to give the floor to our president, Jairo Corrales, so we can discuss the issuance of the participating securities in the market, which is the 11th tranche of participating securities of pay. Go ahead, Jairo. Thank you, Danielle. As many of you know, esteemed investors, we are moving forward with the final stretch to implement the 12th issuance of participatory titles of pay. For about a month now, we've been carrying out the roadshow and face-to-face meetings held in the main cities and also used online channels to address any concerns that may arise around this transaction. If we go back in time, we can remember that Pay's capital structure is a long-term vehicle with a character of becoming a recurring issuer. Why? Because we buy assets with debt, only with debt. The assets cannot be purchased with the vehicle's own returns. We take on debt with the financial sector, buy the assets, and once we have a critical mass or significant size of those assets, we conduct an issuance. Of these issuance in these past 18 years, we have already done 11 of participatory securities of equity into a bonds. This is the mechanism through which the vehicle can raise fresh resources and allocate them to pay obligations we took at the time of making acquisitions. So it's not a new event. Instead, it's a mechanism that's associated with the structure of pay. So what's changed? And this is relevant. First, clearly, globally, and Colombia was no exception, we have seen an increase in interest rates, which leads us to responsibly consider adjusting the capital structure. If in the early years of pay it was normal to have a debt that could be above 30% and even 40% today, since that debt costs more, we must take measures. And precisely in December 2023, the first steps were taken by reducing the cap for the loan-to-value, which was previously at 40% and brought it down to 35%. But we didn't stop there. We introduced a new concept, the ICR, that Danielle already mentioned, which is a very important indicator because it not only includes the amount, which is the loan-to-value, but also the cost of the debt. So through this indicator, we can ensure that the vehicle's profits adequately cover the financial expenses of the vehicle itself. Hence, the first situation that changes and that's one of the triggers of the issuance is the cost of the debt, not for pay, but on a national level and, as I mentioned, globally. The cost of the debt changed radically. Just to give you an idea of the magnitude, let's go back to 2022 when the average cost of pay's debt was below 7%. At the peak of the interest rate hike, this same indicator stood at levels of 14.5%. Fortunately, it has corrected and now it's at 10.5%, but still far from the rates we had before this increase in interest rates sparked. Therefore, it is convenient to make an adjustment in the capital structure of the vehicle. As we already mentioned, Pay's current level of debt is around 33%. With the issuance of securities that we intend to make and allocating these resources to pay the off debt, we will be at something close to 28%. But this is not only intended to adjust the capital structure. As I mentioned before, Pay has been a recurrent issuer. And from the management perspective, We consider that part of what happened in previous years regarding to the value of the security in the secondary market was due to a trust issue, and that a transaction like this made by Pay with sound numbers, good performance, and clear fundamentals should help close that gap. It is also an enabler of profitable growth. So you are well aware that in recent years, the market has been more buyers. Truly, whoever has the money can find very interesting opportunities. We were restricted from using new credit because we were clearly below the levels we adopted in the ICR. In the medium or long term, we consider that a capital structure with a sustainable level of debt of about 25% enables us to grow. But there are two other very important points that I want to mention. The prospectus or regulations of Pay that contemplate the right of preference. The right of preference is exercised every time we make an issuance of participating securities because the prospectus considers two rounds. In the first round, only Pay investors can buy, while in the second round, what was not exercised in the preemptive right is offered to the overall market, including the investors themselves who would like to increase their participation. So this is a relevant issue that should be noted that in this case, although there will be a greater number of securities, we have a mechanism that protects current investors, which is the right of preference. I think it is also important to mention that although securities are exchangeable, they are part of a general pool. This means that this is part of a general pool. So the investor entering this issuance is not only acquiring a stake in these real estate assets, but in all of those that make up Pay. So this is a point that's relevant and that we believe needs to be kept in mind. You are seeing on this slide the assets that are going to be securitized, all of excellent quality, Cala Blanca Hotel, which is in Cartagena, in the Baru area with 187 rooms, and a performance that has allowed it to be one of the best cap rate assets measurements in the last 2 years. It's operated by Accor under the Sofitel brand. At CTU, we have an asset quite unique in Colombia, which are university residences, 1,500 beds, with an occupancy rate close to 90% in regards to the rooms and close to 100% in the commercial platform. Tribana, an office building, a long-term contract for 15 years. Our Cartagena, our distribution center, also with a 17-year contract, handles cold and dry goods. Sanitas de Candama is the result of a scheme to support a tenant in which we have Carolty Sanitas. We have about 5 medical centers, mainly in the cities of Cali, Popayán, and Bogotá, and we have long-term contracts and no implications for health issues. This contract is not under APS's responsibility, but we haven't had any affection in terms of accounts receivable. And Torre Alianza, an office building that's very close to a real estate project that you have heard of called Quota, in which we will have mixed uses and will be likely susceptible to an interesting appreciation on a medium and long-term basis. So as I said before, we're talking about the issuance of exchangeable securities, and this is the 12th portion of participatory securities. This is an equity, not bonds. The amount of the issuance ranges from 300 to 500 billion pesos, with the intention of doing a high range, at a high value of this range. As for the issuance price, which is one of the circumstances that also changed in relation to previous issuance, the value of the security in the secondary market was very similar to the book value. Therefore, the discount was not significant. But in this case, we have a book value price that exceeds 150,000 and a market value of 70,000 pesos. Obviously, this is a significant difference from previous issuances. obviously creating an opportunity for attractive profitability, and obviously the potential negative dilution effect is mitigated by the write-up preference and the significant savings seen in financial costs. Now, despite issuing nearly 7 million securities in relation to the 42 that are outstanding, and therefore distributing the flow among more investors, the decrease in cash flow per share is around only 6%. In short, all positive attributes regarding the financial indicators are achieved, and there is a decrease in cash flow that is not so substantial of 6%. If interest rates, as we've seen this year, did not continue to drop, we would practically be indifferent, because the financial cost, or the savings from the financial costs as a result of prepaying those $500 billion, we compensate for the higher number of securities issued. I already mentioned that the purpose of the resources that we're going to raise is to pay off debt. Today, the debt portfolio is in the order of $3.2 trillion and basically has two components, the Colombian financial sector, with all debts in pesos, and the stock market or bonds. Pay's debt portfolio, as negotiated, allows us to make prepayments without penalties on the obligations. So therefore, we will aim to pay off the loans with the highest interest rate or the maturity conditions that make the most sense for pay. And this is an advantage that enables us to capture savings in financial expenditure. So let's quickly go through some of the main assumptions supporting the issuance of the 12th tranche of the most and the most relevant results. What assumptions did we make? As always, Pay is a conservative income generation vehicle known for making conservative assumptions in its projections. Firstly, all assumptions you will see have a 10-year horizon. Inflation is at 3.67%. We started with a higher inflation rate, but it's decreasing over time. The intervention rate of the central bank is set at 5.13%, and the IBR, which is the indicator we use to estimate financial expenses, is at 4.52% as assumed. The economic vacancy during that 10-year period averages 5.26%. A conservative assumption is that the investment property, real estate assets, only appreciates at the CPI plus 0.26. The average cap rate we would have in this 10-year horizon is 7.25, and the average cost of debt is 8.50%. In the bottom left corner, you can see the profitability result of this issuance of securities. The first bar is the base scenario. As you can see there, we are assuming that the value of the security at the end of the 10 years remains with a significant discount, which is currently at 54%, or equivalently represents 46% of the NAV. The obtained profitability is positioned at CPI plus 11.14%, which is a very attractive return. But we also combine this with an even more attractive aspect. This return comes from practically over 85% from the cash on cash, or the dividend, which stands at NPS 10.45%. So this is the baseline scenario for issuing the participating securities, where what we did was take 100% of the lease contracts that we have pays properties, project them to 10 years, and in year 10, we say that we have a way out since the securities continue to be traded at the current discount. I insist a lot on this assumption. There is no recovery in the value of the security in the secondary market. In the bars you see, as we move towards the right, we start to consider what would happen if that discount starts to narrow. So I'm going to focus for a moment on the third bar, that of 66% of the NID. This means that the security, which today is worth $150,000 but traded in the market at $70,000, would be at levels of 100,000 pesos at the moment. obviously with the adjustments due to the inflation over the 10 years, but it is the value it would have in relation to the asset value. In that case, profitability increases to levels of CPI plus 13.57%. And since there is always already a significant contribution from the asset valuation, the dividend yield relative to total return decreases and would no longer be 10.45 but 8.58 instead. So you can see that this return of CPI plus 13 with an average of CPI of 3.5 would give us around 17% in annual cash flow. So on the right, we have more optimistic exercises where we explore what would happen to profitability if the value of the security were not at 46, but rather at 76. On the right-hand side is something very relevant because, as we've mentioned, part of the purpose of this issue is to optimize or adjust the capital structure of the vehicle. And look at what happens with important indicators like the debt to EBITDA. It's worth mentioning that pay in 2023 reached levels of 7x debt to EBITDA. With this issuance, we would have an average relation of the 4x over these 10 years. That is, we reduce it by almost about half. As we mentioned at the beginning, next week we will distribute around 1,300 pesos per share, if we annualized it, is close to 5 billion. Here, there is a significant increase due to the decrease in financial expenses that we will see in coming years and the benefit of the transaction that we are proposing. The loan to value or debt, which is currently at 33%, would be at levels of 24%, and the ICR would be close to 2.7%. These are the main consequences on the indicators, and it seems to be very relevant to us. And let me finish by emphasizing that the cash flow per share may decrease in the near future, and in 10 years, around 6%. That assuming that CALE is 8.5%, which you are seeing in the projection. If the CALE was not 8.5, but 8.75, we would have a difference between the cash flow per share with and without issuance. Why? Because the savings in the cost of debt would offset the lower value that the investor would receive from a larger number of securities. So, here we would achieve the purposes that we are setting to adjust the capital structure and position ourselves at levels of 25% of the long-term loan to value and a noticeable improvement in issues of debt and ICR. We will allow investors to exercise their right of preference in the first round, but we also open the possibility for new investors to join. We also have to consider that having new investors expands our base and should result in better vehicle liquidity, which has been one of the positive income outcomes we've had in the last 18 months. Our inclusion in the indexes makes us more visible to international investors. And of course, this is very important. Haido, thank you so much for that explanation. So let's move on to our Q&A session. Thank you. As of now, we will begin the Q&A session. You can write your comments through the questions box available on the platform. Okay, thank you, esteemed investors. Let's begin with the first question. It comes from Mr. Carlos Giraldo. I'd like to know, what advantages do we have participating in the issuance of securities compared to buying directly in the market? Haido, could you give us a hand with this answer? Sure. Carlos, thanks for your question. The main advantage has to do with the availability of securities. Many times the number of shares that an investor or potential investor wants to acquire is not available. In a mission like the one we intend to undertake with a significant amount, we open the doors for investors who want to participate with significant tickets or checks can do so. It's a great opportunity to include new investors that buying few securities make it difficult to form a portfolio. So we're not going to generate an additional discount on the market value. We believe that the value that currently exists is attractive enough, and as we've seen, it generates a very important return. The main difference is being able to access a larger volume of securities. Thank you, Jairo. We're asked by Javier David, what's the origin of the variable income received during the quarter? Javier, thank you for your question. Let's remember that we have, especially in the category of shopping centers or commercial, lease income that's tied to the performance of our merchants. That's how for the second quarter of 2024, we generated variable lease income of 9.9 billion pesos. And in the second quarter of 2025, the same income generated exceeded 2.25 billion pesos, which refers to the 23.7% growth I mentioned before. We're asked by Nicolas Jimenez, once the resources are allocated to decrease the current debt, what specific mechanisms will be implemented to prevent accumulating debt at similar levels again? Nicholas? Yes, the prospectus foresees limits that are 35% in relation to loan-to-value ratio and an ICR that only when at levels of 1.7 can trigger new debt to purchase assets. So the same prospectus has mechanisms that limit debt, not only considering the variable amount, but also, very importantly, the variable cost of debt. From the corporate governance viewpoint, decisions on new acquisitions that would be leveraged with debt fall under the advisory committee, which consists of a mixed composition of 9 members. 9 are independent, 1 is a legal representative of investors, and there are 4 additional independent members. There, all transactions are approved, and it is the body responsible for determining and approving any transaction involving a higher leverage. As managers of the vehicle, we have conducted an exercise that is relatively simple but insightful to determine the sustainable debt level given the current interest rates. And that's where we find that by intersecting 2 curves, one representing investor returns and the other cash flow, we see that the intersection of these 2 curves are around 25%. So what we aim to do from management is that as of now, the sustainable debt level is at 25% and will only increase when there are acquisition opportunities that are very profitable. And later, this increase in debt will be covered with new issuances. As I mentioned at the beginning, it is the business model, and that's how we have built a portfolio worth 10 billion with around 11 issuances of equity securities. Buying with a debt obviously has to be low risk and needs to be below the return of the assets. Once several assets are packaged, we carry out a mission that allows us raising equity to prepay the obligations we acquire to purchase the properties. So there are mechanisms at the prospectus level and a decision from management and the advisory committee aiming for a debt level of around 25%. It's also important to mention, Nicholas, that the issuance of equity securities or raising equity is not the only mechanism used, and we shouldn't see it as something isolated. Last year, we carried out 3 divestments, and we are currently advancing 1 that will be more relevant in size and mainly to reduce the leverage of the vehicle. If we combine the effect of both transactions, the issuance of securities used to pay off debt and the sale of a percentage of a relevant asset also to mainly pay off debt, we could be below that 25% in the short term. Thank you for your answer, Haido. And Mr. Hernando Rivas asks, and thank you, Hernando, you're always joining us in our calls. Why is the physical vacancy rate of the corporate category historically lower than that of the portfolio? Haido, Andres, can you give us a hand with this question, please? Sure. Good morning, Hernando, and thank you for participating. Hernando, historically, it wasn't really until we incorporated the Atrio building into the portfolio that this trend of the country's physical vacancy being above the market began. Atrio is, in our opinion, one of the best office buildings in Colombia. Unfortunately, its construction was completed just a few months ago. I would say weeks before the COVID pandemic, and obviously made it very difficult to commercialize. We entered a period where large corporations reassessed their working seams, many operated online, some even gave up square meters of offices, and that led to a reactivation only seen by 2024. So we have begun to see now positive effects. Fortunately, most of these have to do with the online schemes, so we have begun to see positive effects. So this is a topic that carries weight. The other is that this building has specifications that are practically unique in Colombia. We have everything from the structure of the building, which is metallic, all the redundancy in energy backup, the vertical transportation issue, leading it to be a high-spec building with high rental prices, and therefore the decrease that has occurred in the vacancy category, we haven't been able to reflect it yet. However, we have already given some good news, such as the lease contract with Pragmatic, a British firm that initially took 8,000 square meters from us and expanded to two more floors. That is, now they have 12,000 square meters, and further growth is seen, because the intention to reach two additional floors with them and occupy 16,000 square meters. So we have a vacancy that is not historical, but since the entry of Atrio has been above that of the market, we believe that this year we're going to maintain that condition and even more in 2026 if we're going to have a normalization of the vacancy as a result of the businesses that we must carry out during that period of time. The other thing I would like to mention regarding the market is that we must keep in mind that these are AAA assets. So if one looks at the office vacancies that we call B, the vacancy is most likely around 15%. These are individual offices that do not report, do not have a single owner, do not follow a corporate management scheme, and therefore are not included in these reports. But they do often capture some tenant through processes. So these are the main reasons, Hernando, why we have an indicator above the market. As I said, we hope that in 2026, we end up around 11%, and the following year, we should be at below the 10% threshold in this category. Thank you so much for your answer, Haido. Here we have a couple of similar questions from Daniel Londoño and William Borrero. They are asking at what price the bonds from the issuance will be sold and when will this take place? For this, Daniel and William, let me share with you that in terms of the schedule, we expect to publish the notice by the end of this week. But it really depends on an authorization that we have pending from our advisory committee that we hope that will be processed soon. Hence, the broadcast, the issue will begin in full on Tuesday, August 19th. Remember, Monday, the 18th is a holiday here. In terms of the offering price, as Heido mentioned before, and is the offering price that will be at market. When considering the averages of what has been traded and paid in different windows, we're talking about 240 days, 180 days, 120 days, all the values are close to 70,000 pesos. So once the advisory committee approves this mechanism of choosing an average market price within one of these time frames or windows, the process will be made public to the entire market with the publication of the notice. Remember, this issuance will be different to other issuances. We have, for instance, 3 trading days to exercise the right of preferences and 3 trading days for free placement. This would mean that it would be August 19, 20, and 21st, and from the 22nd to the 26th is free placement. That would be the schedule that is subject, of course, to the approval of the advisory committee, but that's what we are currently handling in the administration. Juan Restrepo asks, what information can you share with us about the divestment being reviewed? What subsector does the asset to be sold belong to? Is it commercial, corporate? How many square meters does the asset have? How many square meters does the asset being evaluated for sale have? Thank you, Daniel, and thank you, Juan, for your question. We are currently looking at several divestments. Please keep this in mind. So I'm going to start with the ones that are the furthest behind, and I will give you information in relation to the process that's more advanced and more relevant due to its amount. One of the processes that we're advancing on is a property from the portfolio that we acquired from Davivienda in 2016. And now it's been 9 years, and knowing that the expiration of the contract with Davivienda is approaching, we have been active in reviewing which of those properties may be of interest to several potential buyers. So there's this particular storefront in the city of Medellin, and it is a relatively small transaction. Switching to a medium corporate category, there's an asset in Medellin with a single tenant. It was acquired more than 5 years ago by Pay. It may be susceptible to divestment, and we are in the negotiation process. And the most advanced process is in the commercial category in Bogota, where we would not make a total divestment, but instead 51% of the asset's value. The potential buyer is a foreign company that is interested in acquiring that 51%. And it is a significant asset of around 80,000 square meters. We estimate that the transaction could be closed to the next 3 months, possibly even sooner. That's where I take the opportunity to always say that Pay's policy or strategy from the administrator has to do with portfolio optimization. And this involves acquiring profitable assets, divesting from profitable assets, and redeveloping assets such as that of Seguro del Estado or those of Carvajal in Bogota, which we will also give you more details about ahead, or updates of real estate. So this is permanent. It does not respond to a particular condition over time, but to a consciousness of always making arrangements that increase the value of the assets that make up the Pay portfolio. The idea is to share there is a divestment that we see with the high probability of closure and that we hope to have news in our next results call. Okay, now Maria Calderon asks, what's your take on entering new indexes like that of H. Coldcell. Thank you, Maria, for your question. We do have news regarding that given by Standard & Poor's since November of last year when it made several amendments of what type of assets could qualify or what type of issuers could be part of these indexes. At the end of last year, they included real estate investment vehicles are eligible assets to be part of that eligible universe after the second quarter of this year. And we also learned that there is a market consultation to make amendments to several methodologies or regulations that are part of this index calculated by Standard & Poor's, where issuers would no longer have to be part of the BMI. What's BMI? It's the basket of global assets with specific characteristics. And the amendment that would be made is that all issuers of the Colombian Stock Exchange would be eligible to be part of this index. This gives us good prospects. Remember that the inclusion of the species for the Standard & Poor's Colombia Select is in September, and we would have this good outlook on that index. Oscar Kaje asks, if I'm an investor through voluntary pension or on a personal level, am I considered an active investor? Oscar, thank you so much for your question. We consider that all of you are investors. You're very important to us. But in terms of the issuance or the exercise of the preferential right, for instance, it is a voluntary pension fund, or the NID to be more precise, that to which the participation is registered. So you would have to check with your pension fund the exercise of the preferential right, since in our investor database, they are the ones appearing with that NID and not with your own ID. Oscar. We have the following question from Juan regarding the issuance. The profitability projections are around 20% in terms of equity or NAV. Does this equity profitability include the purchase at a discount? Heidi, if you could answer this. We can answer this together. Juan, the profitability we are showing is sensitive when calculations are made regarding the net asset value, which, as you rightly say, is close to 20% and would generate a very good return for the investor if the price gap of the security in the secondary market closes against the net asset value. However, we have adjusted those prices because our base case is that it starts at a discount and ends at a discount. Heidi, would you like to add anything here? I just want to insist what you just mentioned, Juan. The base assumption or the base scenario of our financial model considers that the value of the security at the end of the 10-year horizon remains at the same discount relative to the book value. Now, if that conservative assumption does not hold, then the investor putting in fresh funds will be capturing a purchase made at a discount. In short, from the beginning, the investor entering is getting into a vehicle with a dividend yield close to 10%. But we are not promising, because we can't, a performance of the value of the bond in the secondary market. Yes, we believe and consider that the conditions are in place to close the gap. So, Danielle, we can go back. Can we go back to the slide of the scenario of the 66% of the IDB? Today, that would correspond to the security being valued at 100,000 pesos, and the profitability is increased to levels of CPI plus 1350. And why do I emphasize that intermediate scenario? Because if you review the studies done by some of the banks that follow Pay, they talk about the fair value of the Pay security, which is at 70,000 today, should be around 100,000 pesos. In short, in this scenario, which is not as conservative at the first, because if in that scenario, recovery of the value of the security from 70,000 pesos today to 100,000 is included, the profitability increases to CPI plus 1357. Mr. Jose Emiliani asks, will the money from the divestment be entirely allocated to servicing the debt? Jose, good morning, and thank you for your question. It's very important to remember that the corporate governance of Pay contemplates that all material decisions, such as using resources from a divestment, are under the authority of the advisory committee, which mainly consists of independent members. As administrators, we will make a recommendation for the resources that would come from a potential divestment to be primarily allocated to debt repayment. But we are also considering a mix of resource utilizations, since it could be quite interesting. I might have missed in the response from the previous investor the amount of the transaction, which could be around 450 billion. So it's a significant transaction. So a large percentage of those resources could be used to prepay financial debt, placing us below 25% of the loan-to-loan value. But there could also be a special performance that complements the resources to be distributed throughout the year. In our calls, please remember that we've shared with you that this year we plan a distributable cash flow in the range of 210 to 230 billion pesos. Can the advisory committee approve it? That's a good point. For instance, if I put 400 billion to pay up debt and use 50 billion to decree a special yield, that would fit within the possibilities at the time the transaction is completed. Thank you, Heido. Maria Paula asks, do you consider that the assumptions are very optimistic considering the country's exchange rate? Maria Paula, thank you so much for your question. Indeed, we consider that the assumptions used in that model that Heido mentioned a moment ago are conservative. We used the expectations of the analyst at the central bank, which is an average of all issues from the most acid to the most conservative. So this is why we use those expectations, and we do believe that they are conservative due to everything that Heido has been telling, both in the real estate sector and also in the macroeconomic aspect mentioned. Daniel, let me add, please. Maria Paula, to a large extent, we have collected exactly what you are saying. Why? The projections we made at Pay 5 or 6 years ago had a debt cost in the range of 7 to 7.5. And here we are already assuming that the cost of debt increases and we take it to levels of 8.5. And as I said, if it were 8.75, if it were 75, there would be a difference in the distributable cash flow per share between scenarios with and without securitization, because the savings and financial expenses would obviously be higher in the face of higher interest rates, compensating for the greater number of shares that would be outstanding. So next question is, what's the goal with which assets are acquired? It's curious that the profitability proposed at net asset value is CPI plus 16. Is this the return of the assets or is it assuming a recovery of the security in the secondary market? Okay, this is a very relevant question, and I think I'd like to clarify some things. The profitability of a real estate investment vehicle like PAY has two components, cash flow and the appreciation of the real estate portfolio, or appreciation, which in a perfect scenario should become an appreciation of the security. Unfortunately, there may be a disconnect between the value of the assets and the value of the securities, and that is what has happened in the last 2 years. So the profitability in the base scenario of CPI plus 11 is because it assumes that the security does not recover. And as I said before, about 85% of the profitability from CPI plus 11 comes from the dividend yield, which stands at 10.5. When the value of the security in the secondary market is recovered, obviously the investor's profitability increases because they receive the same cash flow, but because this would increase, and the sale value of the security would increase and could reach levels of CPI plus 16. We present the first bar here as the base scenario. The others are sensitivities of what would happen with the recovery of the security, which depends on many external factors. That's why it seems to us that we should focus on the base scenario, showing that there is a great opportunity. If we don't reach NIV, it is going to be a complex issue. It is normal that in the markets, and this is not only in Colombia, but in the markets, the financial assets can be traded at discounts. What happens is that now the discount is too strong, and that's why I refer to that intermediate scenario of 66% of NIV. Thank you, Heido. And let me share a comment that was posted by Mr. Juan Andres Cardenas, who says that we are not being very optimistic. Aren't we very optimistic in terms of inflation? Because today we already have an inflation at levels at 4.9%, which is all this inflation shock that we have been seeing. Juan Andres, it's important to remember that the target range of the central bank is between 2 and 4%. This recovery path should lead us to be within that inflation range in the short or medium term. And here we are using an average inflation of 3.67 for all of the years. That means that we're going to have some higher years, and they will tend towards some lower results or towards a lower indicator after the second half of the projection. That is from year 5 onwards. So this comment is important regarding the macroeconomic assumptions we are using for this projection. That we are making. Daniela Guzman asks, when do you expect to achieve that vacancy of around 11% mentioned for the corporate sector? Andres, can you help us, please? Thank you, Daniela, for your question. In the estimates that we are making, it's important to mention first that it is a rather conservative scenario, and negotiations are in the final stages of contract signing. And that in other cases, there are negotiation processes with economic agreements with counterparts or allies. So, understanding this clearly, the scenario in which we resume again, and being more precise, an occupancy average of 11.3%, we would resume it starting from the month of October, and we would finish the last quarter of the year with that indicator, which also allows us to reduce the economic vacancy about 10.50% for the last quarter of this year. Thank you, Daniela, for your question. Thank you, Andres. Thank you, Heido. And with this, we conclude our Q&A session. as well as the results conference for the second quarter of the year 2025. Remember, at the end of this week and starting the next, we will begin our issuance of participating securities. On Friday, August 15th, we will pay distributable cash flow, and that we look forward to seeing you at the third quarter results conference of the year 2025, held in November. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a great day, everyone. Thank you for connecting to the second quarter 2025 results conference. To access the information presented in the results conference, scan the QR code below or visit Pei's website at www.pei.com.co.